Well, turn in your Bibles tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we'll finish this passage of Scripture. You know, there was so much in this passage of Scripture, it wasn't apparent that there was until we started to look at it, and then it became obvious. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 12. The text that we're going to preach tonight is verse 21, but let's pick it up earlier than that. So Saul is now the king of Israel, and that was not a good decision on Israel's part, but God went ahead and provided them with a king, because ultimately that was God's plan. David, Jesus Christ, the ultimate ruler. They were just bringing things in like is so common ahead of schedule. You get ahead of God, it's usually not good. Verse 14, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. You have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. That's the subject of our message these last 3 weeks. Turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they're vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now he says here, turn not aside from following the Lord. Turn, verse 21, turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight for the opportunity to bow before your throne and pray. We're so thankful because you have demonstrated in your word, you have demonstrated in your answers that coming before you in prayer is very profitable business indeed. You hear, you answer, you magnify your glory, and we're so thankful for that, Father. What a privilege to be called your child. What a privilege to be invited into your throne room, to come to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, we have great need tonight. We pray for the teens in their teen class and for the children in the Bible clubs and all those workers that are helping, the children that are in nursery and the nursery workers with them. And all these that are gathered here, Father, please magnify your word above your name. Magnify your glory. Edify us. Father, please instruct us in the words of God that we may be well suited for this text. Help us to understand it so that those things that might cause us to want to turn aside won't have their effect, Father, but that we will continue faithfully following the Lord. For we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, we've been talking these last three Wednesday nights, this one and the two prior, about how to keep following the Lord and not turn aside. And I know you got here today and the last thing on your mind was turning aside from following the Lord. But there are things that come up. When we first started preaching this, we preached that we must fear the Lord. And that's what happened to Israel when Samuel brought that thunder and rain on that wheat harvest. they feared God. And then he told them, fear not, you've done this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. What he wants them to do is fear the Lord, but not be afraid of him. Being afraid of God, simply reviewing what we've already discussed, amounts to being afraid of the consequences of your disobedience. That's what being afraid of God amounts to. But if nothing bad happens to you as a consequence of your disobedience, if nothing bad happens to you immediately after you disobey God, and you disobey him again and nothing bad happens to you, you know what happens? You become more resolved to disobey God. The fear of God is much better than being afraid of God. Because with the fear of God, your respect for and fear of God's power and authority keep you from wanting to disobey God in the first place, before you ever concern yourself with the consequences. And that certainly helps to keep you from turning aside from following the Lord. So we discussed the fear of the Lord the first Wednesday. The next time, last week, we preached about serving the Lord with all your heart, which is the second thing he told them to do. In verse 20, he said, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And when you serve the Lord this way, you do everything as unto the Lord, and you do everything to please the Lord. In other words, you wake up in the morning, or you go to bed at night thanking the Lord for an opportunity to please him with the intention of waking up in the morning to please him. You wake up in the morning with a conscious desire to do what God wants you to do rather than what you want to do. And when you do that, serving the Lord with all of your heart certainly helps you to keep from turning aside, because you've decided that I want to serve you instead of something else that might be pulling you aside. Now tonight what we're going to do is study the third part of this, and tonight we're going to look and preach about turning not after vain things. Vain things, he says in verse 21, which cannot profit nor deliver. That's a vain thing. It might attract you, it might pull you out from following the Lord, but in the end, it can't profit you. In the end, it can't deliver you when you need God to intervene in your life. So tonight we're going to just talk about a few of the vain things that might cause a Christian to turn aside, and has certainly caused a lot of other Christians to turn aside. First of all, don't turn after vain things that are personal pleasures. This doesn't mean that you can't enjoy what the Lord has given you here, but we live at a time, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, where men should be lovers of their own selves, and men should be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the day and age in which you and I live. Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples in Mark chapter 8, and he says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And you look at that and you say, well, what a paradox. I'm a child of God. God wants me to be happy. How in the world do you expect me to be happy if I can't have personal pleasures? How in the world am I supposed to be happy if I deny myself and take up my cross? That doesn't seem to make any sense. And it certainly doesn't to the natural man. And so what happens is you get somebody that grows up in church, particularly somebody that may be young and that's growing up in church, and then what happens is they really haven't experienced much except for the fun and fellowship that we have at church and the good things that we try to do for young people and so forth as an example. And then what happens is they get a little bit older and they're like, well, yeah, but I want to go do whatever, to fill in the blank, whatever that pleasure may be. And you know what the problem is? They have not yet learned contentment in Jesus Christ. That's the problem. And what they do is they get a taste of, you know, a desire, a lust, or something that draws them aside from following the Lord, and that thing has an immediate gratification where they feel a certain pleasure in that experience and they're like, wow, now this is good right here. I am glad I'm not in church because I can go do this all that I want to, whatever that may be, because I can do my own thing. But may I tell you something? There is no personal pleasure that can hold a candle to contentment in Jesus Christ. None. Now the problem is when you first start living as a Christian, you don't just step into a realm of contentment in Jesus Christ. He says, deny yourself, so you got to kind of turn away from what you want to do to start following the Lord. Take up your cross, so you find how it is to live that crucified life. Follow me, and he takes you into that place of contentment. But you don't just arrive there the day after you get saved. Well, people get saved, they're like really excited. They'll cry, or they'll, wow, I feel like this great burden has been lifted from me. And there is for some, a sensation of a real lifting, a real satisfaction that they're, but then after that, it's kind of like, well, whatever, you know, you tell me I got to read my Bible and pray, and I don't really understand much of what I'm reading here, and I don't know if God's listening, and doesn't feel like much. Is that right? I mean, isn't that how it goes? I'm going to tell you, you know, when Jesus Christ said to Paul, and Paul wrote down to us in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. He didn't lie. You know what happened? He got into a place where he knew how glorious contentment was by comparison to any personal pleasure he'd ever pursued. And he said, that's where the gain is, right there. How exhilarating do you think it is for a football player to win the Super Bowl? Think that's pretty exhilarating? It seems to be. I mean, they make rings about that big. I mean, they got hands enough to wear a ring like that, but here, they put those, look at those Super Bowl rings, and I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, man, you could make a necklace out of that thing. They're huge. But there's a great deal of exhilaration for those guys to win a Super Bowl, an experience as far as football goes, unlike anything else they'd ever experienced as long as they played the game. But how real was that to them when they were playing junior high? How real was that to them when they were in high school? How real was that to them when they were in college ball? How real was that to them in two-a-day practices in August? How real was that when they lost a close game in October? And they wasn't. And there was no way in the world that they could experience the exhilaration of that victory and the continual joy they get from having accomplished that thing until they had gone through all of that and then come out to the championship team. The same is true with Jesus Christ. People think, I don't have to put any investment into this relationship with Jesus Christ and I'm supposed to be able to reap all the dividends. See, the world, there's no investment in it. You go to the bar and pop a beer and drink that beer and supposedly that makes you feel good and you're like, wow, woohoo! It doesn't work like that with Jesus Christ. He says, if you'll follow me and not turn aside after vain things, then you're going to find a place of contentment. And when you do, you're going to find that thing is long-lasting and much better than any pleasure you could follow on this earth. But man, it is hard for people to wait for that and then find out. So when you seek personal pleasure over godly contentment, you're going to end up turning aside from the Lord. And he said, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay with the Lord. Keep following him. You'll reach that place of contentment. And it comes soon enough. Man, when you get there, it's like, well, this was worth everything it took to get here, and I am not leaving this place. All right, here's another thing. Don't turn after vain things, he said. Here's another vain thing. Peer popularity. Man, I actually got an outline tonight with all P's. So this is easy to follow. But another vain thing that can cause you to turn aside is peer popularity. In John chapter 12, verse 43, you know what Jesus Christ said was a trouble with the Pharisees? They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I mean, the praise of men is like right now, wow, pat you on the back, you're doing great. Praise of God? When was the last time God licked over the prefaces of heaven, glanced over his throne and said, hey, by the way, woo, good job. I mean, you don't, anybody hear him do that last week? You don't, you don't really sense the pep rally so much with God, right? But with pure popularity, you know, they get you going right away. So it is not uncommon for a young Christian to turn aside from following the Lord when he or she seeks approval from his or her peers. That's what makes it so tough. Look, here we are at church. If you could get along well enough to be with each other all the time, I mean, we get along really well. Wednesday night, Sunday, it's all good. Sometimes we do things together. That always really works well. But, you know, just imagine you were like together all the time. Sometimes people have a hard time with that. But imagining that you could get along as well as you do ordinarily, being together all the time, and your children grow up in an environment like this, and we're all together in an environment like this, where you've got church and people praying and people praising the Lord and talking to other people about Jesus Christ and hearing about what's going on in the mission field, it's real easy for you to stay in the straight and narrow, because he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But we spend a lot of time out in the world as well. You got to work. Some of you go to school and various other things like that. And so you come in contact with other people that you're associated with on a regular basis. And it's sometimes very difficult for people out there to be the same as they are in here because of the pressure to be accepted with another group of people. And listen, when popularity among your peers is more important to you than God's approval, you're going to turn aside from following the Lord. You are. I think from time to time, I'm sure you do too, I think from time to time about growing up. Many of us are first generation Christians. In other words, we were the first person in our household, or maybe even among our extended families, to get saved. Well, that everything around you is not Christian in your family. And so if they drink and carouse and curse and watch things that you're not watching and all that kind of stuff, and you have contact and fellowship with them, right? You don't have strength in those associations to bolster your relationship with the Lord like you do with your friends in church, right? And if you want to be, you don't want to be considered by them, oh, you're a Baptist, you go to a Baptist church, you're like one of those Bible thumpers. You mean you don't really take the stuff that's in this Bible literally? Have you read the first 10 chapters of Genesis? You don't believe that's like the way it really happened, do you? And you start getting that kind of pressure and you want to be accepted in that group, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to end up turning aside from following the Lord. And you got to be aware of this one thing. Once you seek approval from your peers that are not Christians, you're going to start walking with them. And the Bible says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And it will destroy your testimony. Absolutely. And it'll cause you to turn aside. Here's another vain thing that can cause you to turn aside. Not only personal pleasure, and you got to be real careful about that these days, and peer popularity, but also, here's another, persuasive professors. Oh my, I don't do this often, but I'm doing a pretty good job of it tonight. Persuasive professors. Look at Colossians 2:8. Keep your finger where you are, because that's our text. Look at Colossians 2:8. Oh, you see now. Listen, some of you guys are in college or just finished college or hadn't been out that long. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Colossians 2:8. Beware. You always want to pay attention when Paul says something like that. Beware. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you. That's not like, you know, we talk about spoiling the children because we give them too many good things. But spoil in the sense that they have robbed you, like the spoils of war. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So you better beware of that. You see what happens, and again, this happens a lot of times with young people, grow up in church, and you made it through all the way through high school, you're doing it well, you get to college, and you don't have a college that you may, but oftentimes you don't. You don't have a college professor that believes in Jesus Christ or believes the Bible is true. And you hear all about evolution, and you hear about sciences, or what they call the science of natural processes. You hear a lot of philosophy, and you hear a lot of worldly things. And you know, that starts influencing you. You hear those things, and you start, it doesn't have to, but it can start to influence you. And listen, when you start following a philosophy, when you start following a professor, when you start following another preacher, any of which are opposed to the truth, and you start believing that these guys are smarter than the Bible or these guys are smarter than your pastor, whoever your pastor may be, you're going to wind up turning aside from the Lord. I am shocked how many young Christians, after their first year of college, are uncertain of their faith, and after their second year of college, don't believe it anymore at all. And they run into philosophers like Richard Dawkins and others like that, you know, the publications of these guys who believe that God is a delusion. And it's so funny. It's so funny. Have you ever noticed people, they'll say, that when they're criticizing you know what you are? You're this, 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 and this, and this. And what they're telling you is, that's what I am. You ever notice that? And so they'll say, you know, God is a delusion. No, the fact is, He's deluded. Bible said God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It's just the other way around. But you pick up on that stuff and start listening to that. You could go to the internet tonight and be talked out of your faith by midnight if you end up on the wrong sites. You can go to the internet tonight and hear from independent Baptist preachers who can talk you out of your faith in the Bible tonight, based on their little podcasts and their videos that they have on whatever video channels they have and that kind of stuff. You have to be, he said, beware. You got to be so careful. There, you know, you hear it over and over again, you're going to keep hearing it till Jesus comes. And if you don't want to hear it anymore, you better pray that he comes soon. You cannot grow as a Christian apart from a steady diet in the words of God. You cannot. And if you're a Christian and your faith is based simply upon how you're strengthened by preaching and teaching here from time to time and the association with Christian friends, let me tell you, there are some people that can come along, and oftentimes the devil sends them your way, and they will take your legs right out from under you. Persuasive professors. Don't turn aside after those things. Here's another one that can knock you out. Personal pleasure, you got to be careful about that. What you want to seek is contentment with Jesus Christ. Peer popularity, you don't have to gain any popularity with that crowd out there. Be friendly enough with them to lead them to Jesus Christ, but don't try to win their approval. Persuasive professors, if it doesn't line up exactly with this book, just walk away. And then this one, passing pursuits. I did it, got all the way through. Passing pursuits. What are we talking about? Well, in 1 John, what did the Lord say? He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Right? And then he said, what's in the world? All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And these things are not from the Father. They're of the world. And what's the problem with the world? The world passeth away. Passing pursuits. You see, the temptation is that when you're here in this earth and you have to make a living or whatever other thing that you pursue, you can kind of get hooked into accomplishing more than you need or God wants you to accomplish in that thing that you're doing, and suddenly it becomes more important to you than your relationship with God does. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, you know, wisdom here is personified. Wisdom is speaking. But look what wisdom says in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So see what he's saying? He says, you're going to have an opportunity to receive my instruction. You're also going to have an opportunity to receive silver. If receiving silver keeps you from receiving my instruction, forget the silver and get my instruction. And you're going to have an opportunity to hear my knowledge, and you're going to have an opportunity to get choice gold. If getting choice gold keeps you from getting my knowledge, forget the gold. For wisdom, 11, is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So it's not uncommon for Christians who have been getting strengthened in their faith to then be enamored with worldly success, or presented with an opportunity for worldly success, or for an opportunity to get wealth, and end up forsaking. You're in Proverbs chapter 8, right? Look at verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, what kind of riches? Durable. How durable is your paycheck? How durable is your paycheck, man? Most of the time it's spent before you ever get it. These days, it's not durable. And even if you are really good at managing a budget and you have money set aside so that, you know, you can go into your retirement years and all that, when you die, how much of it takes, doesn't go with you. So it's not durable even in that sense. And then notice what he says here in verse 21, that I may cause those that love me, that is wisdom, to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When he talks about inheriting substance and fill their treasures, it doesn't. Some people get the idea, you're talking about all down here. He's not talking about all down here. Not talking about that at all. He's talking about substance that you can inherit. On all those things come from following the Lord. So listen. When you place more value on the accumulation of money and possessions than you do on the instruction, wisdom, and knowledge of God's words, you're going to turn away from following God. He didn't say to ignore. He didn't say become, we're not saying become an ascetic, a monk, and walk around with a frown on your face and let everybody see how good a Christian you are. It's not that you can't enjoy what God has given you here. It's just you don't want to let those pleasures pull you away from following God. You know, there are a lot of people today that don't go to church on the days when churches are because their kids are playing sports. It's a perfect example. It's our weekend at the place of recreation, wherever that is, and we can't be in church. Everybody's gonna go play. You gotta be careful about that kind of thing. Because those things can pull you out from following the Lord. And if you're gonna try to gain favor with men more than you're gonna concern yourself with favor with God, They're going to pull you. That pull will pull you out from following the Lord. And if you're willing to sit there and try to get yourself all educated up in all these worldly things, and you're not spending time in this book, your faith will not hold. And if you get allured by what the world calls success and you start chasing that buck too hard, you'll look back one day and say, wow, how did we end up here? How did we get this far off a track with God? It's easy to do, measuring success by accumulation of possessions rather than by a knowledge of God and close fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, there are other things. We don't need to talk about them tonight because I think these are four probably of the most common vain things that cause a person to turn aside from following the Lord. So you know what the admonition is after these three lessons? Follow the Lord. And don't turn aside. Fear Him, serve Him with all your heart, and when you recognize a vain thing that has some allurement on you, just cut your association off with it and stay right there with God, and you'll be fine.